Ladies and gentlemen, girls and boys, may I have your attention, please? Are you ready to engage in a mind-blowing experience and hear talks about life, technology, entertainment, and business? The next episode of Hip to Talks starts in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go.
Hi guys, welcome back to the Hip to Talks. We are very happy about the feedback we are receiving about our podcast launched in 2022, and here we are at our next episode where we have some special guests from other levels. It's Jenny Liu, General Manager North America at Other Levels, and Joe Hannaford, General Manager from Europe at Other Levels. Hi guys, welcome.
Thank you.
Hi, nice to know. Well, you'll hear us all.
Okay, so before we dive into the questions, I would just like to ask you guys to give a short introduction of yourselves. So let's start with Jenny.
Perfect. So my name's Jenny. I'm the General Manager of the North American office for Other Levels. I'm primarily responsible for the growth of the North American division. So sort of just the growth into the US and Canada. I'll hand it over to Joe to introduce himself and also explain a little bit about what Other Levels does as well.
Hi, I'm Joe. I'm mainly focused on in the EMEA region. I'm mainly around the customer success, obviously for our customers, but also for our products. So Other Levels at its core is a CRM system for mobile apps, mobile web, and desktop. That allows our customers to reach their customers across multiple channels in the right way. But we've also, heading our innovation sort of arm, we've been moving into what we call an engagement platform. And that's focusing in the sports area, sports betting area. And that tries to reach out to customers on the right channel at the right time in real time based on their behavior, but also based on the behavior of matches in sports. So marrying those two up along with customers' betting behavior right. to try and not only obviously help our customers hit their targets, but also to give a more personalized and customer-centric slant to the messaging rather than it just be straight offers.
All right. Thank you for this brief introduction. All right. So let's have fun. Today, we are going to talk about perfecting player engagement in sports betting and approaching it if it's a pipe dream or a reality. So we are going to have a little bit of ping pong today with the questions as we are going to focus on North America and the European region. So my first question is, whoever wants to pick it up, is can you describe the state of sports betting globally? What are some key differences between markets and or regions? So I guess we have this question for both of you.
Yeah, so I'll sort of pick it up from like the traditional betting region of Europe and especially the UK. You know, it's always led the way in the gaming and gambling market. There's very, very established brands over here.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's still the main market share of, you know, the 150 to 200 billion US dollars that are out there in this space. Most of it is Western Europe still. But obviously, when you've got like states like New York coming on board, and they're, you know, the size of that population is the size of a European country, then it's going to change somewhat. And the way that, and you know, we'll go on to speak about this today, I suppose, is that the way the American market will influence back over here will be, I think it will be surprising for some people, because I think traditionally, a lot of people would have thought, oh, we'll come over to the US with our UK EMEA-centric branding and way we speak to our customers and the way we do things online. But, you know, customer service and the way customers are treated in America is a lot different to the UK. Some people would say it was a lot better. So actually that might bring out a lot of different things. And also, you know, globally, a big thing that's happened is, I think, over the last 2 years, especially during this pandemic, because of financial situation, is there's been a lot of mergers and acquisitions. There were always lots of mergers and acquisitions in gambling, but they've ramped up. And you've got some really big companies now, right? You've got Flutter, which is an absolutely huge FTSE 100 company.
Growing every month.
Yeah, which trades over every single region. And, you know, that brings some advantages, but it also brings some difficulties for those companies, like all the synergies that they've got to create, all of the things that other challenger brands, which some of their brands were originally, you know, they might miss out on those things. So how that's going to play out in the next couple of years will be interesting. And then, again, you know, especially during this pandemic, regulation has come on. A lot. There was a lot of regions that said, nope, you're not allowed to promote to anybody during the pandemic, which is probably a good thing. It was difficult for us marketeers, but, you know, you got people were in the situations they were in. So that was probably a good thing in a way. But how people come out of that will be interesting. It gave people time to look and reset on how they market to the customer, what they're going to market with. And then, you know, a few interesting things came out of the sports betting region, right? Football was the biggest betting market in maybe soccer in the UK, biggest betting market in the world. But again, the NFL is the biggest sport, probably. Some people would argue that soccer is, but NFL probably for the amount of data that comes from it, it probably is. So it'll be interesting to see how the US goes to that. So I'd probably say that'll be, you know, those are the things. And then the US market is always expected and promised so much, but nothing really ever happened. And it does feel like it's an inflection point. I mean, I think Jenny would probably say that now.
Yeah. So let's see what is the situation in the promised land.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the situation in the promised land is that it is a growing market. I mean, it's what Joe said, like it's the US market, but at the same time, each of the states themselves are almost like its own little country. And the way that they regulate is like they're regulating country by country or state by state, because each state has its own rules and regulations. There's some states that have no sports betting. There's some states that allow for sports betting, but no online wagering. There's some that have online wagering, sports betting, but no iGaming. So each state has its own different rules and how they operate. The taxes are different. How they market can be different. And at some point, it almost feels like they're making up the rules as they go along, you know, because it's so new. So it's exciting because it is a high growth market. It's like people have access to this newly regulated market. In terms of the people themselves, it's not like they're unfamiliar with sports betting, because there was sports betting previously. And then there's also the black market that still operates there. And the other thing is fantasy is massive, is absolutely massive in the US. And while it's not exactly sports betting, it requires you to have a deep understanding of sports, of players, probably even deeper than sports betting itself. Yep. Because you're looking at the players' stats. So, I mean, they're massive sports fans. They're massive data geeks in terms of like understanding the players, the scores, like, you know, the stats and everything. So it's a pretty natural transition for American fans to become sports bettors. So you have a pretty good solid base of people that, you know, like a market that you can start targeting already. So that's, I think, the highlight of the American market. And obviously, like GDP, like a relatively wealthy country and so forth. Yep. So, yeah.
So I guess the key word here to describe the state of sports betting globally is that it's growing. It's growing fast.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right. Yeah, and to go back to Joe's point in regards to the pandemic and restrictions in some countries, in some Baltic countries during 2020, restriction in terms of not accepting players or wagers in online casinos were totally restricted. So basically, online activities were also shut down in some countries, so that, which was really crazy. All right, so what does player engagement look like right now? Perhaps let's start with the growing North American market.
Yeah, so the North American market's a little strange. Because it's growing state by state, operators are focusing on that market, you know, access to market first strategy, which means it's all about acquisition rather than engagement or retention. So everything's about just growing the market base and growing like their customers and trying to get as many customers as possible. They haven't really focused that much on the retention. Obviously, you know, people do the basics of retention, like you have to. So you're looking at lifecycle marketing as the primary strategy right now. So it's very traditional retention marketing. You're looking at, you know, who are your new players? Who are your active players? Trying to prevent a bit of churn. And then there's a lot of promotional marketing. You know, how do we get these players to spend it comes with the acquisition, you know, let's give them risk-free bets. Let's give them deposit bonuses and this other bonus and that other bonus. So it's very promotional. So that's sort of what the marketing is right now, which isn't quite engagement marketing. So it's not quite, you know, trying to get them to commit to the brand or like, you know, just being active and, you know, getting them to spend without giving them free money. Like that's not not the most profitable strategy and not the sort of like the most sustainable strategy either. So I think as competition happens, as it's sort of, you know, I think for the short term, as states continue, that's still going to be like what it is in the US. It's still going to be about acquisition and giving them, you know, trying to get as many customers as possible. As that sort of, you know, slowly slows down, especially in some states where I think, you know, like New Jersey, Pennsylvania, where it's, you know, it's been there for quite some time. And then with increased competition from other operators, they're going to have to look at other strategies, especially smaller operators. They can't come in and offer or, you know, have the same marketing budget as these large brands that have been there. So they're going to have to look at new ways to engage with players. And I think that's where innovation will come in. And that's where player engagement will actually come in rather than sort of promotional marketing.
Yeah, especially since the audience who is listening to this now in March, it's probably March Madness going on where promotions are going to be crazy.
Exactly.
All right. So how does that differ from more mature sports betting market?
I think it's just one of those things that you thought you would think that operators who have operated in Europe, who have gone over to the US, would have learned from what happened to themselves 5 years at five.
No, they did not learn. It's the goal. It's the goal.
You know, there was a race to the bottom through the acquisition channels. You know, CPA went up. There was a lot of churn, a lot of reactivation going on, a lot of free bet budgets, which then had to be reined in. So then obviously that the market over here has matured and understand that actually you need to communicate to customers in a personalized approach, not just from the content perspective, but on what marketing channel, when is it automated? You know, some people you do need to still give offers, some people you don't need to give offers, but you need to give them the experience. But you know, on the other hand, you've got to remember is that you've got to get the market share. So in America, like you can't say that anybody's done anything wrong because the customers need to be acquired and you need to get that market share to be able to do any of those things and then to be able to reinvest and do those, to do all these innovative marketing things. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, we but you probably learn that in the UK and India as well, that the challenger brands who have not been able to keep running that acquisition, then when they haven't had the base to be able to run all these tests or do all this personalized communication, then they may have lost out a little bit. So it is a difficult one. It's strange is that people will bet if they want to bet. Like, there's only a certain pool of people. You can convince other people in other types of products to buy things, but gaming and gambling, if someone wants to do it, they will generally do it. If they don't want to do it, they generally won't do it. So it's an interesting way. And that's why I think that personally, there is a finite amount of people that you can market to. So you need to be able to market to them in the right way. Once you've started speaking to them and they're with your brand, because there's only so much acquisition and retention and churn that you can take, really. And I think, you know, but maybe the American market will be different, right? Maybe it's so big, or it will, or the way that they communicate will be different. So it'll be an interesting time. And that's what I was saying. Like, I think we'll learn a lot to bring back over to the UK and EMEA. From that market to actually maybe reinvent how we market over here as well.
Yeah, I remember when back about 8-9 years ago, CPA costed around 500-600 euros.
Yeah,
for the affiliates.
Yeah, it's that kind of thing, right? And you can see why people. It's fair. Like, you've got to do it, and it's easy. It's easier to get your acquisition channel up and running because there's loads of agencies that will do it for you. They've proven themselves, they're good agencies, they know what they're doing. You should do it.
Yeah.
But you've also got to remember where that's going. You can't just leave that traffic in the ether and just lose it because you've spent the money. So,
all right.
And that's about CPA cost at the moment in the US.
Okay, so it's back to the old high prices then. Right, so any final words?
No, just thank you to everybody who's finished listening. Hopefully weren't too boring for you.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, thank you for sticking around.
All right.
And thank you, Zoltan, for having us on.
Hey, it's our pleasure. Thank you so much for joining. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening. Make sure to subscribe on our podcast channels, and see you next week. Goodbye.
Thank you for joining. Be sure to check back next week for the next Hip to Talks, and subscribe on Amazon Music, Overcast, Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, SoundCloud, MixCloud, and Pandora.